All right, I gotta dust off this mic. It's been a while. I've been trying to get into it, but it's been just so more challenging, you know, with just everything going on. I haven't done this in a while. You know, and obviously I stopped with Anthony, and then when I was in the relationship I was in, I just cut it off cold turkey. Simply because, you know, from that experience is knowing that anything I said can be taken in a way it's not meant to be said. It's not meant to be heard that way, right? Like it's one of those things that in the relationship, and by the way, it is done for the third time. This is a person I was with. I tried it one, twice, and now the third time. I think this trilogy is done. We're going to call it Don't Eat Your Vegetables. Because that's what spawned kind of the series of events that I'm dealing with. And it's just very interesting to just sadly how it went down and understanding how things happen. And, you know, for me, it's been a journey this time around. It was, what, 8 months maybe? Eight months of just reconnecting. Things were going great. It's a typical cycle. It was always a typical cycle, which is we're all excited in the beginning. Then she's pumping the brakes. Like, keeps hammering me over the head. Come back down to earth. Then I come back down to earth. And then she slowly starts imposing. And, you know, the one thing that I realized in this iteration more than anything else is this is the thing that was the biggest problem. And I didn't realize it fully because now I understand it more than ever. And it is, if the relationship doesn't look, feel, or sound a certain way, then there's going to be problems. I'm going to receive a negative reaction from her. That's all it is. If it doesn't look right, if it doesn't feel right, or if I say something that doesn't register correctly, then it's one of those deals that we're going to have problems on her end. And that's the way she says. She says, her claims that she reacts. So in this journey this time around, there was an incident that we had. It was kind of the final lapse. And it was the classical trying to be a mom to me. And it's one of those things that she hated to hear when I said, stop treating me like you're my fucking mom. Stop telling me what to do, not to do. If we're driving in a car and I'm looking at my phone, don't tell me, put your phone down and look at that. I don't need you to talk to me like I'm a fucking 9-year-old. I'm not your kid. So you can ask me. It's all about how you speak to me in a respectful way. And there's just so many signs of that going on all the time. As simple as me, how I put my plate away at a restaurant. As simple as how I dress. As simple as what I use or not use. It's just a very motherly thing. Like the instincts that she has to try to correct, to try to avoid a possible scenario in her head that she was worried about. Prevention, prevention, prevention. Stop, stop, stop. Stop thinking this way. Stop thinking this way. Stop saying that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. No, no, no. That's how she was all the time. And it just became more prevalent as we were getting closer to moving in together. These are things that she doesn't realize it, how she becomes when the stakes start getting higher and higher and higher. And I mean, it's just so many things to say. So I'm just going to rant on whatever I feel like. And that's where, for me, it just became very ugly. And it just started from her saying to me, hey, I want you to eat vegetables. Okay. I hear you. Thank you. No. I really need you to eat vegetables. I'm like, okay, I hear you. I get it. This is the reasons why you should eat vegetables. I hear you, ma'am. I gotcha. All right, whatever. I just don't argue about it anymore, but I think you should eat your vegetables. I think it's important. I'm like, okay, how about this? I'll eat vegetables when you eat red meat and chicken, okay? Like, I'll do that. When you eat as much red meat and chicken, I'll eat vegetables. Now, to the average person, that's not something that's going to offend you, right? But for her, forget about it. Forget about it. That was like so insulting because of a traumatic experience she had as a kid. She has spiritual connections, so she can technically be four-dimensional. She's very spiritual, so she's kind of one of those spiritual connected people that can see things, talks to spirits, see, you know, all that stuff. So she sees it from a different lens. So she felt an experience with an animal she ate, felt the death of it.
Great.
No problem. I get it. But the fact that she's not able to understand my analogy wasn't meant to attack her like that in the way that she received it. Again, I just, all I said is, how about you eat red meat and chicken and I just eat vegetables? And she's thinking, I'm telling her, how about you kill yourself and die while I do something you want me to do because you care for me? It's really wild how she receives such a simple conversation like that. Not in an angry way, not in a snarky way. It's just like, okay, you know what? How about this? Because I'm that type of person that, again, if you're not respecting my boundaries, if you're not respecting how I want to live and how I want to be, then we're going to have problems. And she comes from the mindset of, I'm not saying this literally, but we have to be wearing matching shirts in a relationship, meaning that our value systems have to align as much as they can. And I just think that that's fine and dandy when you're in your 20s. But when you're already grown, and in her case, married more than once, and has kids from more than one marriage, you've been through the grinder, okay? You got to know that, you got to learn how to compromise. You got to learn how to find that middle ground. Meaning that there's some things about me that you're not going to change. You can give me advice. You can give me suggestions. I'm all for that. But don't act like you want to impose it on me, okay? And that's what, unfortunately for her, she does. So forget about it. She went ahead and once again, because this is a monthly occurrence, her flare-ups, it's a monthly basis, whether it's her period, whether it's a full moon, whether it is just the drama that she deals with co-parenting, with the kids treating her, mistreating her in a very disrespectful way, that impacts her. And she doesn't even realize it because those things are being fed to me. And again, if I don't look, or if the relationship doesn't look, feel, or sound a certain way, she's going to take it out on me in these ways. And lo and behold, she starts doing what every woman does when they don't get it their way, right? It reminds me of like when I would be in the workplace and I wouldn't talk to any women at all. And someone would try to talk to me and I just wouldn't talk to them, give them the time of day. They'll go around and say, I'm gay. They'll go around and say, are you fucking, he's fucking gay. Because I don't give them attention because I don't recognize that they want attention from me. They go automatically use shameful language. You're fucking gay. That's exactly how my ex is. And whenever something, it's like whenever she doesn't get it her way or when I'm not reacting a certain way, she's going to have a negative feedback. She's going to use shameful language. And she started calling me. She said, you're fucking ludicrous. You're a fucking retard. Now, I had a conversation with her before about this because she's really steadfast on thinking that I have a mental disease. She's really set on that. She said, I have a mental disease. And I keep telling her, I don't have a mental disease. I'm a product of my environment. I'm a product of my environment as far as the neglect I got, the lack of nurturing, the lack of attention I got. The coldness I got, the inability to have emotional support, I was a product of my environment. So the way I'm built, it's in a certain way where I think and view things a different way. There was not a value system instilled in me like many of us have. Just like I instill in my daughter, right? So I had to really create my own canvas, and I did that walking through life and observing and doing things. And these are conversations that I've had over the years and years and years, and they just go in one ear and out the other, okay? So in this conversation, when she calls me a retard, guess what? We had a conversation in the past more than once about don't call me a fucking retard, because she's steadfast thinking I'm either retarded, I either have autistic tendencies, something, schizophrenia. Like these are things that she's really in her heart of hearts because the spirits tell her that I'm going to have that. That's how she thinks. Or she sees certain things and it's like, I can explain myself because I've already gone through this journey on my own. I understand why I act the way I do. I have a bunch of fucking podcasts talking about that. But for her, it doesn't register. And it's so ironic. A lot of things I'm going to say on the other side, there's a lot of hypocrisy. And she tells me that I don't listen to anything she says. I can say the same about her. because I've been saying these things over and over and over again. So I've had a prior conversation respectfully about, don't call me names like that when you get in that space. And what does she do? She fucking goes for it again. And this is, again, a monthly recurrence with her. Whenever the relationship doesn't look or sound or feel a certain way, she flips the fuck out and starts saying things that I'm not going to repeat. And now at this point of the relationship, because I've been dealing with this for months, as far as her flare-ups, now I'm like, fuck it. Well, I'm just going to start mudslinging back. And by the way, that's never been my MO. One of the things that she likes to do, or has liked to do, was to tell me how she was much more experienced in relationships and shame and diminish and devalue my experiences in my relationships. She does that all the time. But the one thing I can say about my relationships that she doesn't have or she hasn't had is the fact that I get along with all my exes. She will be the only one that she's deleted, that she has no contact with me, and there's no way in hell that we're going to be together. There's no way in hell that we can be even amicable. Because she's just that volatile. And this time around, so she goes ahead and we start getting an argument, and all of a sudden she goes, I got to get out of here. I got to go. I need time off. First of all, she goes into, I'm going to break up with you. I can't deal with this anymore. You're dulling my light. To, I need a break. No time. And then she goes into 3 days later saying, why have you been ignoring me? Really? You initially said you were done with me. Then in that same day, we were talking, you hung up on me. That was the last time we talked, because I said, I've told her this all the time, don't hang up on me. And she says, well, I just get frustrated and I just hang up. We've talked about this multiple times. Don't hang up on me. If you can't keep your cool, you got to go see a therapist about that. Because I don't do that to her. And the one thing that I would do, which was leave when everything's got heated, when she would flare up the way she did and using shameful language and putting me down and gaslighting, all these things that she would say to make my narrative, my point of view, be worth nothing to hers, I would just walk away. And I'd be like, I need some time off. And she said that me walking away was a punishment to her. Think about that. Whenever people get in an argument, me walking away and saying, I'm done, I can't go with this, she felt I was punishing her. So she emphasized that in the beginning of the relationship, saying, you cannot do this. You cannot walk away. We have to hash it out. But all of a sudden now, she's taking the playbook that she shamed me for. She shamed me for that. She made me feel like shit because it would hurt her because I didn't cope with the frustration as she did. But now she's doing it. Again, hypocrisy, double standards. I don't deal good with that. I don't. I'm a tit for tat, petty, double standard kind of person. I've always let that be known. That's not a newsflash. I'm a person, if you're telling me to be a certain way, but you're not applying that to yourself, I'm going to have a huge problem with that. So here she is, storms out. Then she calls, hangs up. Okay, we're done. We are done. And then we're having text conversations, and she goes, you know what? I can't continue this conversation. Bye. She's trying to control everything, control when she cuts off all the time, whether it's in person, whether it's on the phone, or text. I said, you know what? I'm done. I wrote her an email. Blah, 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 blah. Everything's going to be done through email now. Everything's going to be done through email. Because you have to understand that I'm not going to let you control how things go when it's obvious that you fluctuate. You're very erratic in so many ways. And I'll go into that as I rant. But that's the whole point with that. It's like, okay, so now every conversation is on email. And that conversation is logged in. I'm telling her, I don't want to be with you anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being with you because of your erratic behavior for any fucking reason. Like, you flip the fuck out and you go at it. And she normalizes that. And I told her in the email, I said, look, it's one thing if we had just met and we're 6 months into the relationship. We've been on and off for 4+ years. If you've been around somebody for 4+ years and you're still not understanding what triggers me, and you're still taking things as if I'm your enemy, if you're still thinking I'm trying to impose and have this ulterior motive, then it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be. I'm not going to, and you know, I told her after that, I'm not going to marry you. Don't you ever think about marrying me. I'm never going to marry you ever in my life. I can't marry somebody that is that erratically, emotionally unstable. I can't. At this stage in life, I have to know what I'm getting into. I know that when I come home, I'm coming home to a woman that is bringing me peace, that's adding to my peace, that's adding to my tranquility. And I could support her just like I was when a relative passed away during my birthday time. I didn't make it about me. It was about her and her time and about helping her get through this moment and being supportive for her. It's not about me. But for her, it's like this level of wanting to live life a certain way, and it has to look and feel and sound a certain way. And if it doesn't, I'm gonna be a self-proclaimed brat. I didn't call her a brat. She called herself a brat. She knows she's a brat. And somehow I'm expected to deal with that on a weekly or monthly basis. A person that is trying to be consistent, doesn't like to argue, has let it be known that I don't like to argue. And more than ever, than in prior any prior iteration, I've been respectful in what I say and what I not say. Again, I stopped podcasting. I stopped saying what the shit was coming into my head. I would just stop and think and say it. And even then, she wouldn't be happy with it. Even if it was a generic answer, she'd be so disappointed. It was like, whatever, if I didn't give her the answer she didn't want to hear, she had a problem with it. And she doesn't even realize that. And it was, so I'm walking on eggshells here. By the 6th, 7th, by 5 months, I'm already walking on eggshells once again. And she doesn't even recognize that. She just thinks it's all good. Like, like she expects people to deal with her erratic behavior. And I've had friends, and that this time around, after we caught it or whatever, I had female friends read this dialogue, because I'm not going to get on the phone with her. Read this dialogue and tell me what you think. All three of them said, man, she is all over the place. She really loves you, but man, she is all over the place. That will be exhausting to deal with. But she doesn't see it. She doesn't understand that her instability, like emotional instability, when she doesn't get her way, she has no mechanisms to control it in the moment. And a guy like me, that I'm hypersensitive to arguing, and I've let that be known since day one, and I've never fought with anybody in any of my relationships combined than with this one right here. She is used to it. This is her regular operating way of being in a relationship. Let's fight. Let's argue. I'm 47 years old, man. I made it this far without you. And I made it without arguing with people. And it's not about having people that are agreeable with me or say yes or no, sir. It's about how you speak to me. If she was a dude, I would have punched her in the fucking face. I would have gave her one warning. I would have given that guy one warning, like I always have in my prior stories I've said before. I tell that my daughter all the time. Like, I don't tolerate disrespect. Ever. I'm never going to tolerate it. Because there's something about me where I feel there's no need to be disrespectful when we're talking about a serious conversation. If you have in a serious manner, a matter that you want to discuss that is deep to your emotions, I'm not going to try to get you there. Okay? And it's sadly because the things that I would say, remember, I've been through this ride before. So I know what to say and not to say. And I still kept fucking up in her eyes. I still getting her frustrated. She's talking about one time being frustrated because of intimacy. I'm like, it wasn't even over a week. We had co-parenting schedules. I have work to do. She's acting like we didn't have intimacy for like five months. It was like 7 to 10 days at most. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. It was because of the scheduling. And sadly for me and her, I'm a scheduler. She's not. And it drove me up the wall. But I never complained about it. Until this last argument. Because I was going to put my foot down. I'm like, look, I'm dealing with your erratic ways. I'm dealing with your fluctuating emotions. I'm dealing with your dramaville of co-parenting, which you're at war with. Total opposite of my world. I'm dealing with the challenges you have at work of trying to move up in advance and the stress that brings you from time to time. Okay? I'm dealing with the challenges of your finances, which you racked up a bill again. Tens of thousands of debt this woman has incurred on me that I don't expect to send back, by the way. But she claims she's going to pay. She's probably not going to pay. Trust me. This is a very, in my opinion, very irresponsible person when it comes to finances and when it comes to scheduling on personal time. If you love that freelancing shit after work, cool. That's not my wheelhouse, man. That's not how I run. That's not, again, I'm a grown man that is self-made. I'm self-made through the opportunities that I've received and made the best of them. Okay? So I don't gel well with people that tell me they're going to be at my house at 6 o'clock and it's 8:30 and they're just rolling in. She doesn't understand how I operate. 4 years of this. 4 years. 4 years of this. That she's still not understanding that I'm a scheduler. She still doesn't understand. She gets in her feelings when I don't react to her coming in a certain way dressed where she's 3 hours behind. And I'm tired. And I'm mentally preparing for one time and she comes at a way later time. Consistently inconsistent. But for some reason, I'm supposed to tolerate all of that. And what do I get in return? Love? What does love look like? Trying to tell me what to do? Trying to correct me? Trying to tell me how to make my co-parenting relationship better where there's no fighting? Whether or not you think there's codependency or whatever complaints you have, at the end, I'm happy with it. I'm not complaining about it like that. I'm good with it. Damn. Like, relax. Let me be. It's not impeding on our relationship time. It's not. And it's a very sad thing that all these things, all of my life, it's like my things shouldn't impede. It's that they bother you. You don't think it bothers me seeing how people treat you in your world? But I can't do nothing about it. God forbid if I step in. God fucking forbid if I try to protect you. God forbid, right? So I mind my fucking business. And that's the sad part about it is that you just can't help yourself to be controlling, to impose yourself. I don't need your help. This is a 50-50 partner. Just imagine if you bought a house halfway with somebody else. You both have equal say, not one person over the other. And if you don't like it, then one of you can leave and then buy out the other person. But it's not supposed to be that way. Like it's a fit. I'm a grown fucking man. I'm not looking for how to be told how to dress. How to be told how to act, how to be told how to do anything. If my shit bothers you that much, then God damn, you know what you're getting into. And it's modified. It's way more modified than in the beginning. And you're still fucking having riots every month where you're shaming me when you're now talking about, and one of the cool things about it is she got nosy and went into my Google photos and videos. And she saw that during our time off, while she was dating a married man, in which the married woman called her at work. The kids think she's a homewrecker. They don't talk to the guy anymore, or it's a very estranged relationship now. And while she's doing that with this married guy and building a future with him, I'm being single. And if consenting adults allow for things to happen, whether it's pictures or videos, cool. But it wasn't done while you were, while we were together at any point. So she verified that, because God forbid she thinks that I'm somehow doing something behind her back. And everything has shown that I haven't. But she sees these videos and things that I've done on her off time. And she starts judging me and shaming me for that. Can you imagine that? Goes through my shit. Whatever the reason is, she went through it. No need to, because I haven't done anything wrong. But the spirits probably told her, go through his shit. Cool. See videos of me with adult women having fun. And somehow disgust you. And now you want to shame me for it. But that had nothing to do with our relationship. It's like me bringing up stuff that you went through in the relationship that's impacting us right now. Oh, but wait a minute. Something did happen while we were together. We went out one time. And you thought I was the ex-husband. And you said something that really derailed the whole experience. And I said, you know what? It really derailed that whole weekend. It really derailed the whole, because I realized that she made me realize that I was just a turn on the wheel. She was able to move quickly from a heart space perspective. She's judging me because I'm able to, you know, fuck other women when I'm single, but I don't have any emotional space invested, just physical gratification. And she shames that, but minimizes her heart space going completely to somebody else. And guess what? It's still there, because we're going out and you're reminded of him and you treat me like I'm him. In that moment, you thought I was him. That's like, the way I took that was like me having sex with you and screaming my ex-wife's name out. Or saying her name. Like just whispering it. How are you going to feel? How is anybody going to feel about it, knowing that they're in love with this person and they're saying something that is relating to another person that was before them? They're going to feel weird. But she tried minimizing that. She, like, that's only a little hiccup. That's only not. But if I was to do it, oh my God. Oh my fucking God. You know? She's just that type. And then she blames the women. Like in this one, when I told you, I sent an email of the dialogue I had with her and I. And I let one of my friends, and I accidentally sent it to her, to my ex. My ex was hunting her down. Was like, you're a fucking disgrace. You this and that. Was you the woman in the video? Was you the woman in the video? Oh, by the way, she went ahead and took stuff from that file. Like she's going to use it like a defamation of character. And she called it insurance. Luckily, I have the emails to show that. So if anything pops up, I know who it came from. And we can, and I have the email trace with her verbiage on it saying that, confirming that. So it's so silly. Oh, and by the way, the videos that we had fun in, that me and my ex had made in a trip, of her doing certain things to me and me doing certain things to her, those are still live and active. But guess what? The difference between me and you, ma'am, is this. If you were to put out my videos and put out my stuff to the world, it's no different than my podcast. My coworkers know I got a podcast. My friends have a podcast. My boss knows I have a podcast. And they know who I am. My coworkers and staff love, like, they think it's hilarious. They think I keep it real. My boss thinks it's totally hilarious. I was giving him a story and he was fucking, everyone knows me. Worst case scenario she can do is, worst case scenario, okay, I'm fucking a grown woman. While I'm single, remember, a video of me fucking women when I was single, I'm not cheating on no wife. I'm not, you know, what is it, double crossing anybody. I am single as a slice of cheese in the world, recording escapades from time to time. And she is judging me because that was my past. And she's shaming me for it. Isn't that crazy? But yet, she can't look in the mirror and knowing the damage that she did. And she somehow blames that on me. She's a grown woman deciding who she wants to go to. And she's probably going to go back to him because that was the expectation she was placing on me. She wanted me to treat her like the ex-husband treated her. And I'm like, I'm not him. I'm sorry. I'm not him. I keep it real. I'm stoic. I don't get excited about surprises. I don't need you to feed my ego. I'm not. That was the thing with her, is like she would always get pissed off when I didn't have the reaction she wanted me to have on things she did. I don't get excited. Ask anybody in my relationships. I don't get excited if I'm not a gift. My language, my love language is definitely not gifts. Don't do shit for me. That doesn't do me anything. It doesn't. Great quality time is mine. Words of affirmation are mine. Physical touch, I don't give a fuck. Unless it's in bed. If we're having a party in bed, I'm all in. But this whole thing of she, again, not understanding me, and she's known me for 4+ years. And when I went into it this time, I said, I understand you. I understand how to speak to you. I understand what you want. And I was answering the fucking bell. But then she would get frustrated when she didn't get dick. And I'm like, well, ma'am, I've been traveling. I've been working. And I got kids. And my schedule conflicts with yours with kids. And then she wants to do like pop visits randomly. I'm in the middle of the fucking day handling shit. I'm not in the right mindset. Now, if you were to tell me, hey, listen, tomorrow, man, if you have some free time, try to squeeze me in. I may want to try to stop by. Doesn't do any of that. She's ambiguous. Like I said, she went behind my back to get all these videos and stuff. And she's claiming because I forwarded an email with the dialogue to a friend. Mind you, this is the same person that was the ex-girlfriend that was telling me that she talked to her cousin about us. So she's talking to other people on her side about things. But somehow, I can't talk to people. Now, what if that was my cousin? Would you have accepted that? Maybe. But because when I heard you talk about it with people and you said that, I said, okay, well, she's talking to people. I'm going to reach out to this friend. I'm going to reach out to this friend. I'm going to reach out to people. And I'm going to ask them for their feedback. And they all said the same thing. You dodged a fucking bullet, man. You dodged a bullet. This girl is beyond, like, you could tell she's all over the place. She loves you, but she doesn't know how to control. And I'm like, I hear you. That's what I deduced. I deduced it when I went on one of her trips with her family. When I saw how she treated her father, I was like, uh-oh, this is how she is. She tries to control how you speak. She tries to control what you say and not say around her. She controls how you act. It's wild. She doesn't realize it. That's the preventionist in her. That's the way she's built. But she doesn't understand that. So she's going ahead and justifying getting videos of me and saying insurance. I'm like, insurance for what? What am I going to go after you for? Whatever. Listen, I'm out of that drama with you and your ex-husband and that baby mama drama. Baby, I'm out of it like this. And they're celebrating on their side because I was protecting her. I kept the ex-husband that she was co-parenting with. I kept him in line because he couldn't talk to her a certain way. And I kept his wife in check with one conversation. I kept them all in check. When her kid acted out of line and said some disrespectful things to her, guess what? Guess who messaged him and told them at the end of the day, that's your mother. She's sacrificed a lot for you, okay? Be mindful of respecting her. I stood up for her. Okay? I stood up for her loud and clear. And these are things that, you know, she's going to go and continue to be mad about. And saying that I'm this piece of shit. I don't give her any love. You know, all these things that she just kept wanting me to be like somebody she experienced before. And I get it. I get it. That's the same way I am with freaks. It's like once I experience that freak show, it's hard to reel it in. But I reeled it in for her. I became totally monogamous. I didn't talk to any woman. I didn't entertain anything. It was traditional shit. And then she's telling me she was entertaining a friend. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just wanted to coexist. All over the place. Inconsistent, erratic, not responsible enough for me. I gave her a credit card. She ran it up to like 4,300 in a matter of months. Just to give you some clarity, I have two other credit cards. One of them my ex-wife has, because if anything comes up for my daughter and she needs to do it in an emergency, she can use it. You know what the balance on that one is? $32. Oh, she's had that for years. And she pays it off. Whenever she uses something, guess what she does? She calls me every time. Before she uses it, she goes, hey, Menno, I need to buy Jazz this. She's having this. Are you okay with me using your card? Every fucking time. My ex-girlfriend used it. Then she'll be like, oh, I'll put some stuff on the card, by the way. Didn't let me know out of decency, out of respect. She was just random, vague. And then she goes into my shit, getting videos and pictures and trying to delete them. I'm like, well, first of all, I can get them back. Second of all, what are you trying to do? I don't care about your life. Look, there is nothing that you do that I am worried about sabotage. I don't care. I can easily grab the videos that me and you did, and I can send them all over your work environment. That's going to be more detrimental to you because you come across as this high mighty, you know, holier than thou, uber professional that wants to be taken serious at the workplace. Imagine if they see you giving me a blowjob. Me fucking you in the stall. Or naked videos of you. I'm not going to do that. I don't care to do that. That's not, I don't care. But for you to do that to me and try to say insurance for what? I don't care about your money. You don't bring any value to me in my life. You don't bring peace and tranquility. Okay? You're not like a backbone in the household. You could have been, but you weren't consistent enough. You had other things going on. And I'm not trying to bash you, but those are the facts. And spending all this money on you, again, that's just the credit card. I'm not talking about the other stuff. You're just a burden on me. And to come home to somebody where I'm walking on eggshells, you don't know what's going to trigger you. Has to be done your way, because if not, you're going to be bratty about it. And then you're talking to, and now you're talking to the married guy, the ex-married guy again that you were dating before me, where I'm not talking to any female like that. And I know you're staying in touch with him because you have feelings for him. Great. But you're not going to impose those feelings onto me as far as how I need to be. I don't care. But it's funny how the hypocrisy is there. So much hypocrisy. Like if she was to put my videos on Facebook, like I told her, it's the same thing I would say. She fucking swallowed and was talking dirty to me. Something you couldn't do. Something, it was just so unimaginable for you to do for your man that you love so much. These bitches were getting recorded and swallowing and all that stuff. You think I'm going to go down, especially when I was single? I was single. I wasn't dating nobody. And the poor friend that you were harassing, you were asking her about whether she was the one or not. All right, and she was like, no, that wasn't me. I'm like, yeah, she knows about me. Every girl knows about me. Like how I am, how I think. I don't hide who I am as a person. And you're saying, well, what about your daughter? My daughter's going to be a grown woman one day. And she's going to pick whoever she wants to be with. And as I know, my daughter's a mommy's girl. She's not a daddy's girl. Her and mom are best friends. So she knows dad is a little different. She knows dad is out there. She's listened to the podcast. She knows. But my daughter is awesome. And I figured she exactly mentally, outside of her lazy ass, not taking school seriously, she has the bandwidth of what I wanted her to understand, which was we're all different spectrums. She understands that I'm a podcast minnow. I'm a friend minnow. I'm a this, that. And we have all these different things in our heads, but it doesn't make me a bad dad. And because I like to be out there, I like to be eccentric. I like to be a Sigma male. I like to just be different in my own way. And I'm not ashamed of it because it's my life. And we're amongst hypocrites like you, ma'am. We're around hypocrites that try to give the facade of them being something. Don't get me wrong. When I'm at work, I'm at work. I'm professional. But outside of work, I'm going to be me. And that's going to conflict with how I am at work. But it's okay. Because, like I said, if you're going to judge me and shame me for things that I have done while we were not together, while you were also breaking laws in your personal constitution, and then trying to impose those expectations of that past relationship onto me and make me giddy up, no, that's not going to work. So I had to cut her off, cut off the credit card, cut off the finances. I told her, like, I have a lease with her in the apartment. I told her, I'm not going to renew that lease for you. I'm not going to renew it. You figure that out on your own. And if you walk away, like, I think you're going to walk away and not do the right thing, I get it. That's the price of doing business with somebody that is crazy. And she hates when I say that. But it's like when you have erratic behavior that isn't consistent and you can be volatile for any reason, what do you label that as? It's not me going after you because I'm not going after you after your money. I'm not going after you after your sex. I'm not going after you for anything other than I'm not all because I need a mom or my daughter. I went with you because if you were able to loosen the fuck up, just calm down and let me be mean and accept those things that you hate not controlling and letting me know I'm a grown man. He's been this way his whole life. He's grown and does these things successfully without me in his life. I have to respect that. You can't go ahead and impose that on me. Can I do things better in your eyes? Sure. But that's neither here or there. You can give me suggestions, but get the fuck out of my way, respectfully. And now you're saying that I got out of my path with Beach. The beach was fucking cold and rainy. You remember it was rainy for months. It was a weird winter. So I stopped going because it was raining. And I didn't go in March because it was fucking spring training and spring break. That's the worst time to go to the beach. And we did it one time anyway. So I was just waiting to get back in it after Memorial Day. But of course, you're thinking I've gone away from all of that. And it's like, dude, like your spiritual quirkiness, man, like got the best of you. It sure did. I'm all about spiritual, but you're trying to be a religious person with no specific denomination, and I get it. But you can't impose that on me. And the thing about it is that you're living a life to appease the afterlife. I'm not. I'm taking life as it is right now. The beautiful, the great, the bad, the ugly, the crazy. All of it. I'm going to enjoy all of it and then worry about where that leads me when I get to the pearly gates, if I get there. So I have to worry about the present. I'm not living to appease God so he leads me in his good graces. I'm a good person. God should know I'm a good person. He knows I'm not trying to kill nobody. He knows I'm not trying to hurt nobody. He knows I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. All I want to do is live and have fun with consenting adults and be peaceful. If that is too much to ask, if that is too much to stomach because it is not in your value system, respectfully, fuck off. And you have. But this whole thing of being betrayed because I shared our conversations with a woman that I consider a friend that I'm not fucking, that I haven't fucked, and I'm friends with and I'm cool with, and she's logical. She understands. She's open-minded enough. She's not set in her ways. And that's what she said. She said, it's like you guys just have very steadfast views. I'm like, yeah. The difference is I'm willing to meet halfway and she isn't. Because for her, meeting halfway is compromising her self-happiness. It has to look and feel and sound in a certain way. And if it does not, she doesn't want any part of it. I mean, she's getting mad about the fact of, well, you know, we can't do things together. Yeah, you can't go to a Wu-Tang concert with me because of low vibrations. You don't play video games because you hate technology. It's childish. Think about it. A woman being mad at me because I like being at home in front of the TV, playing video games and watching TV. Don't get me wrong. And I travel and I do things. It's just that every weekend, I don't have to be going out and socializing with people. I don't need to have people over every weekend. I don't need to be out seeing people every fucking weekend. I like to decompress. I like to calm down. I like to just be in my own space. And that rubbed her the wrong way that I did it too much. I'm like, well, I don't know what to fucking tell you. And she's talking about how my work changed so much. I'm like, yeah, I'm in a big position where I'm helping make decisions that are going to impact the company. Don't you think that a man that gives you financial stability, that gives you emotional stability when you're going through shit, that is there to back you up when your ex-husband and his wife come after you, whenever your kids come after you and disrespect you, I have to correct them as well? Don't you think that I deserve a little leniency and a little, let me step the fuck back if I'm not getting what I want now, but at least voice it and you can schedule me in? But you hate scheduling. You feel like everything I say that we should do is a death sentence. I remember when I saw these things come up and I said, let's go to therapy. I said it about 5 or 6 months ago. I said, let's go to therapy together. She said, you should go to therapy together. No, you should go to therapy. You figure out your issues. You are the problem. Now, at the very end here, guess what she's doing? We should go to therapy. Nah, not at all, ma'am. Not at all. Because when I asked for it, I saw the writing on the wall a while back. You said, no, I was the issue. Now it's very obvious to me that you're the issue. Because my issues have been exposed. I've talked about them. I've shared them. And I'm working on them. And I'm willing to meet you halfway. But you don't recognize that you get triggered and you start using shameful language. You start being disrespectful when you don't get things your way. When it doesn't look or feel or sound a certain way, you're going to react in a negative way. And that's your problem. God forbid if I walk away. God forbid if I discontinue. But like I said, we ended it very ugly. My daughter just rolled her eyes like, okay, dad, again, you guys are broken up again. You know, I'm like, yeah, possibly. Yeah, very likely. No, it's guaranteed. Because I can't have the thing, if you're hearing this, it's like, I just can't have somebody as volatile as you. I need somebody that's going to be a rock, man, that handles their business and can schedule time respectfully and can, even if you're having a bad day, it's okay. You don't got to be perfect. But don't make me the punching bag. Don't make me the punching bag when your kids are treating you a certain way. Don't make me a punching bag and know that I don't function like you. Know that if I'm in a sunken place because of an argument, I cannot flip the switch and have great sex. I don't even want to have sex. I don't even want to do anything. And even if I do give it to you, and a couple of times that I've done it, you call it sympathy sex. Like, yeah, because in my heart, I don't feel like doing it because I'm not reconciled with what we just went through. But you're saying, giddy up, motherfucker. You're being a soft bitch. And it's like, you know what, ma'am? You don't even know. If you're a dude, I would have punched you a long time ago and you would have regulated yourself. Trust me. You would have regulated yourself because it's not about winning or losing. I'm an idiot. I keep fighting. I used to fight with this kid back when I was younger every fucking day. Every fucking day for a summer. His parents would come over And my dad just like went ahead and said, fuck it. Like, you guys keep fighting. Like, I'm not going to do anything about it. And he was just telling him, like, you fucking regulate your kids. Keep them away. Keep them in the house. Because we would fight every fucking day. It was on. Like, you want to take my marbles? It's fucking on. You wanna just go ahead and every stupid shit, we would fucking fight. On like Donkey Kong. Come to my house. I go to his house. Fucking fight. And they didn't fuck with my dad. Because they knew my dad was who he was. So it was like, they would just come and complain to him. He'd be like, hey, man, I hear you, but kids are going to be kids. If they're fucking fighting, like, you keep them on your side, I keep them on my side. Fucking cats and dogs. But yeah, I'm going to keep fighting until you fucking figure it out. You know, I'm not going to verbally fight you because I'm in a relationship. I grew up in trauma where fighting led to the abomination of my relationship with the immediate family, where we had to do what is called nowadays an Amber Alert. We left the country, and I left a stable family, and having family all around me, cousins, having fucking cousins and fucking aunts and uncles all around me, to growing up in welfare and growing up in the ghetto during the crack epidemic. And being out in the streets because my mom did not protect me, did not console me. So I was running like a wild pack dogs with no emotional support. And here I am at 47 doing okay. Now, I'm saying I'm perfect, but I know who I am and I own it. And I try to explain to people why I am the way I am, just like I have to you. 4 years, you know these stories, 4 years. And I've accommodated, I've modified, and it still wasn't enough because you wanted to feel what you felt with your ex, with that guy, the ex-husband you were dealing with. You want to feel that. I get it. Go for it. If that's the devil you'd rather deal with, go for it. But I can't giddy up and be that. And I'm sorry that I wasn't able to be that. And I'm sorry that I frustrated you all the time. I'm not trying to frustrate anybody deliberately. And she's talking about how, you know, I was going to die if I kept going at this rate. And I'm telling her, man, you don't really truly understand how you're being as a person. Like, you're killing me. You're stressed. And I realized that when she decided to take time off. When she decided to take time off from the relationship, which was like about, you know, a few days. And then when she was trying to argue and talk, I'm like, nope, I'll talk to you next week about it. We didn't get to next week. But I realized I was able to get so much stuff done. I was able to get my post-licensing coursework done. I got my broker's license started. I was able to start working out every day. I was more in focus than ever before at work. I have focus with parenting and my schedule. Again, I function better when I'm structured from beginning to end, both on personal and career and parenting. I'm more structured that way. And she tells me I like control. Ma'am, I don't like control. Anybody that's been with me in a relationship knows that I don't tell you who to talk to, as you know, because you were talking to the ex-husband that you were in love with, and you mentioned and you thought I was him at one point. I'm not in control because I don't tell you who to talk to, how to be, how to dress, what decisions. I don't tell you any of that. I don't tell you that you don't take those trips without me. You go take them. Cool. Last minute trip schedule for you and your people. Have fun. Go at it. Never have I ever put a leash on you in that regard. All I ever asked for was when it's our time, if it's Tuesday night or if it's a weekend, it's about us. Make time. Don't give it to other people or whatever. Just give it to me. That's all. Quality time. Love language. And it's not even about you having to pamper me or take me to games or anything. Even this time around, I was more open-minded. She took me to dancing. She took me to rock climbing. Those are shits I never fucking do. I don't care to fucking do any of that. I've been there and done that. You don't think I've gotten opportunities to really go rock climbing for real? Because I've been traveling out west. You don't think I've had a chance to fucking dance? No, of course. But at this age, I am who I am. I don't want to do it. Okay? It's like trying to get somebody to be a vegan that their whole life have eaten fucking hamburgers and love it. Not going to do it. Some people are just set in their ways. But I do it because for you, because you needed that. You needed to feel that. and you were just on this hunt of like trying to find something that's for both of us. I'm like, I don't know if you realize this, but what connects us together is the conversations. And when we allow ourselves to be open to express feelings, that was our bond. That was the bond that we had, because we could respectfully elevate and learn from each other. But you needed it to be an activity. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, and you were just like, this relationship is going to feel off if we don't have something that's exclusive to us. I don't get that. I understand what you're saying, but that shouldn't be something that should have you feeling off. It doesn't make me feel off if you go out dancing and I don't want to. It doesn't make me feel off if you want to go to a fucking a spiritual concert and I don't. Or you want to go to yoga fest and I don't. I don't feel I'm off. I just feel I respect your ways because you're an old grown woman and you've lived a life well before me, and I have as well. Just like when I went to the basketball events, I would have liked you to come. You didn't come. I said, cool, I'm out. I don't care. You could have came, but you had work. You have parenting. Cool. I didn't break your sweat. I didn't get mad about it. You know? And those are things that I think she's failing to realize, that she wants to say about all these things that she had to tolerate with my erratic schedule at work, knowing that I'm responsible, knowing that because of that job that I enjoy, that I love helping build, that is helping me help her financially. She's not even seeing that. Like, money to her is not a thing. She wants love. I'm like, man, don't you understand by now that all these fuck ups that you've been involved in have to do with you ignoring having to learn about money and learning how to advance, because you're going to be stuck in a rut if you don't do that? Don't you think by now, grown ass old woman status, don't you think you ought to know that by now? So she's complaining about my erratic stuff in at work, complaining about my quote. She actually erased that paragraph because she was going to go about how she's tolerating my ex-wife and my daughter. I'm like, you know, she knew she held her tongue back on that one because, again, the one thing that I have that she'll never have is harmony. I could be in the same car with my ex-wife, going to a movie with my daughter, going to dinner together. I'm not saying we're going to hug or anything like that. Like, it was interesting because I went to a mastermind group recently, and this lady was talking about how she had a business relationship with her ex-fiance. And this other guy was really looking at her really weird, like judging her. And I just gave him the quickest analogy of, listen, just think of it this way. Just kind of come to the defense of the woman. Like, think of it this way. If me and you were best friends, but we could decide to live together, and in 2 months realize that we are not compatible to live with each other, we're going to go at each other's throat and we're going to fight. That doesn't mean that we can't be friends. It just means that it can't be, the relationship can't be in a capacity. Like, there's some people that I'm friends with, I can't live with. And in this case with my ex-wife, she's a great ex-wife, great co-parent, and we get along great. It's just that what we desire in relationships is different. Our value systems are different. So I wasn't able to work in that capacity. And that's the part that for us, it's like, even though we can't be husband and wife and do all the lovey-dovey things, guess what? We can go to a theater show together with our daughter. Guess what? We can have a birthday together, not separate ones. Guess what? We can go to graduation together. Guess what? We can go talk to the teachers together. Guess what? And without not even the teachers or anybody thinking that we're fucking fighting like cats and dogs. That's what she has to deal with for the rest of her life. She'll never have that harmony. So, oh, and by the way, and I help my ex-wife whenever she needs it because she's the mother of my child. And as a man, my value system is, because I saw my mom struggle, is one of, I'm going to help the woman because that hurts my child if I don't help her. If I'm wanting her to burn in hell, to my daughter that needs women in her life, not men, women, to help her grow into a young lady, into a grown, productive woman in society, she's going to need her mother to be at her best. I can't be there fully because I'm not in a relationship with her, but I help her in any way I can. And harmony trumps everything. And you know why I know? Because we can be in the car together. She just came to pick me up. I let her borrow my car. She came to pick me up at the airport when I was on my business trip. And we're all hanging out, talking, shooting the shit as a family. My daughter sees that. My daughter doesn't feel the weirdness that her children feel. I'm not trying to judge in a negative way. It's the reality. So that's the part where if the ways that I'm doing it bother her, or she's thinking that I'm controlling because I'm prioritizing my parenting responsibilities over a relationship. And I haven't, because I've had it balanced more than ever before, because in our prior iterations, she brought that to my attention and I modified. And it still bothers her. And I'm sorry that your ex-husbands don't treat you with the respect that you deserve. They don't treat you with the courtesy and the consideration of you being the mother that birthed them, that you being the mother that had them in your tummy and was sacrificing your life for that, for them children to come out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that wasn't me. You know, I wish it was me. I wish it was. And I was like, but I'm never going to, if any woman that has a child with me, I'm never going to. Now, if she wants to fuck me over, it's on. But if she's being respectful, if she's being considerate, and I work with you. I work with y'all to an extent. And it bothers women, man. It bothers women. It's like the level of insecurity on that, it's off the charts. I would never get jealous if my wife that has children with another man go on a trip for something. Because we're all, life is not black and white anymore at this stage. It's not black and white anymore. People are dealing with stepchildren. People are dealing with co-parenting. And we just have to be grown adults about it. And is it, what is it for? Put your selfish feelings aside. And it's sad because it's not a hurt. It is sometimes. But if the other half wasn't willing to, but sometimes she does because she wants it to look and sound and feel a certain way. I have no regrets in life. She does. I have zero regrets. Even with this breakup, again, of this connection, I have no regrets. None. None. Because you learn from it. You experience good, bad, and ugly. And that's life. I don't sit there kicking tires, should have, could have, would have. That's her, though. She does that all the time. The one regret I have is one. Out of all my life, if I was to do everything all over again, this is what I would do. I would get a real estate license after I graduated high school, but I would do everything else the same. I would get, right after I graduated high school that summer, I would have got my real estate license, and I would have gone into Florida Southern as a redshirt freshman, and I would have had a real estate license networking with the six-man members. Because eventually, I was going to start investing in my own shit. I wasn't going to live in the dorms. I was going to get my own property and then rent it out to kids and then buy two and then buy three and four and play the Monopoly game. So by the time I would have been 30, I would have been set. But I have no regrets in life at all. None. Even though I'm not married to the daughter of my child, what I'm doing right now with her, fucking, it's okay. They're having a good time. And it's a best case scenario. We're not arguing. We're not fighting. We help each other out. She's supportive. I'm supportive. And we're on the same team when it comes to parenting. She gets out of line of that house. I'm calling her and letting her know you respect your mother. I'm sorry that your ex-husbands never did that for you. I'm sorry they want to erase you. That's fucked up. I can't do nothing about it though. And don't be jealous of that. You say you're not jealous. She says she's not jealous, but why do you react the way you do? And it says because you care. And it's like, it's funny because jealous people that go through other people's phones, that's what they claim. When other people are texting you and calling you and checking in on every minute of where the fuck you're at, and you know that it's not healthy, their response is because I care. I worry about you. No, you fucking don't. You're insecure. You're worried about something happening. That's why you're digging through my shit. Or in this case, because you don't have that. Because you don't have that co-harmony. You'd rather be in a cat and dog fight that impacts your child to the point that you have to get them into therapy, just like mine. Mine, I don't have to get to therapy because of the fighting at home. Mine, I have to get to therapy because her lazy ass was spoiled by mom and dad. And she's not realizing the ramifications of how life is going to kick her in the fucking balls if she doesn't get her act together. But it's not because mom and dad are fighting. Mom and dad go to therapy together with her. Therapists, doctors, teachers, they all applaud how we operate. But somehow you feel a certain way about it. Because you know more about life than I do. You know how to run my life better than I do myself. And those are things that you have to, I know you've probably never been with a man that had their shit together. That's what you're looking at right here. A grown fucking man that has been self-sufficient since I left my house at 17, 18 years old. I've never looked back. I never left and stayed with my mom ever again after that. Never again. I got my own car. I got my own place with my work. No one else gave it to me. I didn't get no help from mom and dad. From me. And if you think somehow I'm retarded, if you think somehow I'm schizophrenic, or I'm high functioning autism, or your self-diagnosis, remember this. I told you I'm a product of my environment. I'm a go-getter. I'm ambitious. And it wasn't because I was bored. It was because I wanted to build a fucking future for you of stability for you and your children. So that you don't have to worry about money. So you don't have to worry. You could be the fucking butterfly that you hate me saying that you are. So you can go out and live life in the way and impact the world in the way you wanted to do it. But you couldn't see the fucking vision. The difference between me and my dad is my dad was beating the shit out of my mom. He had the same plan. And he retired in his 40s. But she wasn't there because he went about it differently than I did. But you couldn't fucking understand that. And then when it came down to therapy, when I told you, you said, you got the problem. And now when I hit the eject button, because now I was going to hit the eject button. Once you should know this by now. When I give you warnings of, hey man, you're getting me there. You're getting me to a point of resentment. She laughed about it one time. She's like, you're in your resentment. Like she just dismisses, gaslights, like diminishes or devalues anything I fucking say. Or tries to correct me as far as the way I think is not the way she thinks. And again, I'm not saying that her side isn't wrong. All I'm saying is that there's a middle fucking ground. And she didn't want to dance in that. She didn't want to dance in compromise land. And whatever she says about compromising, dealing with this, dealing with that, you're not dealing with shit. I told you, you schedule with me, I'm good. You want to have sex on a Tuesday night? Just schedule it with me. You want to have a great getaway weekend? Schedule it with me. Give me details. Don't be ambiguous. Don't give me surprises. I fucking hate surprises. You know that. I don't live off that energy. I don't get off on that. Didn't you realize that by now? Didn't you realize I don't care for surprises? I don't care. I'm not going to get the reaction that you want me to get. I'm not going to be jumping up and down, doing dance, tap dancing and shit. You know that, right? I'd be doing that if you were doing freaky shit in bed. Just like I was having those videos of race play, of fucking talking shit, of being swallowed. I don't think you have the ones when I was, you know, doing a little smacking and stuff like that. But good. That's in my personal phone. With your videos in there too. The videos of us doing what we were doing. And videos of pictures of us. So, don't threaten me with insurances. Don't threaten me with any of that. That's not cool. Like, what am I going to go after you for? You have nothing that I need to, I don't want to jeopardize your life. I want you to be better than what you had here. If you're fucking, if that ex-husband or that ex that was married, that fucking crazy, jealous, controlling motherfucker, if he provides you a better life than I could, awesome. He fucks you better than I do, obviously. He gives you that energy and attention that I didn't, obviously. So go for it. God bless you. I don't care. I'm not comparing myself to the next person. I'll tell that to Jazz. Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm not doing that. But you're not going to compare or try to put things from other people onto me. You're always going to fail. I'm a bucking bronco, man. You can't put a saddle on me. If you talk to me, if you, you know, try to talk to me respectfully, like you know you can. And that's the sad thing about it, too, is that she knows she has the skill set to be rational. And I try to coach her through this. I said, look, you know how to speak to people in a rational and controlling way. You will get more results out of life if you were to talk to people in a respectful way. Even if they come at you a certain way, you can derail that easily and say, let's not go there. That's why me and my ex-wife don't fight. Because guess what she does? Whenever things get heated or have gotten heated, she'd be like, hey, Minnow, I don't know if you received what I said defensively, but you know, I was kind of out of line what you said. So I'm not trying to go there though, you know, so, but I just let you know that what you said kind of struck me a negative way. And I regulate myself because of course I'm not trying to go there, and I explain myself and I'll say my apologies or whatever. That's how grown adults do it. They just don't cut it off because they don't get it their way. They don't go ahead and shame somebody, call them retarded. And you're saying, well, that's my Boston slang. Well, I've addressed you about it before. Just like you've addressed me about things that I would just say all the time that were normal to me, but that I couldn't say to you because it bothered you. So even though it was my norm, it bothered you. And you told me, you got to respect me. So I shifted my mindset from you being my best friend to being a partner, but to being the conventional, traditional partner that I have to keep certain things out of my vocabulary because you are not able to understand me. You're not able to understand that I'm speaking to you because I trust you, because I trust our bond, and we trust that our love is greater than that shit. You know? Like, you could have told me about how your ex, you know, that guy, your ex made you feel. He made me do this. I don't get jealous. I'm like, great. Is there a halfway meeting point I can meet you? What things can I do? That's the type of guy I am. But you're not going to subconsciously just nag me and complain to me because you're talking to him behind the scenes and he's reminding you of how he treated you and I'm not doing it in the moment. And then you get frustrated and that comes out in your way. No, we're not doing that. I'm a different animal. He's an eagle. He's the great lion you want. I'm a fucking eagle. You know, I'm fucking alone in the skies, man. Like, you know, I'm doing me. So you unfortunately try to impose and try, if it didn't look a certain way, the preventionist in you came, the past trauma came out from the past husbands. I'm not them. I don't hit you. I never will. I was there supportive of you, you know, and I'm sorry that I didn't make you feel magical. I thought I tried it in different ways, but like I said, it's never enough. People can't compromise. And she let it be known that she wasn't going to compromise. She was going to feel what she wanted to feel because damn it, she deserves it. I got you. But you can't impose that on me, baby girl. Like if it's not me, it's not me. I could get you halfway. I could try from time to time, right? But since you don't schedule with me, since you're random with me, since you have, you know, you want me to say perfect answers and do perfect things, and you say, no, I don't want you to do that. Yes, you fucking do. Why do you think everyone is afraid to talk to you? Your kids, your dad. Why? Why do you think that is? Why do you think everyone gets defensive? Because it's like you just have been in a war zone all your life with the people closest to you. And that's traumatized you. That's damaged you. And like I told you in the emails, I said, you got to find ways when those triggers, identify the triggers and then find ways to diffuse it before it escalates to where it gets to. I've done that for myself. I always told you, that's why I can't deal with people that love to argue. I told you that. I said that I cannot be in a relationship with a person that loves to argue or thinks or normalizes arguments. Again, you were saying, well, that's normal in the beginning. We've been at it for 4 years. it shouldn't be on a monthly basis. I don't care what anybody fucking tells me. If that's your version of a relationship, arguing every fucking month about everything and any little thing that pisses you off, good fucking luck. I'll beat my hand and I watch porn and I watch these skank toothless white women, like she would say, just that come over and suck my dick and blow me and you be about your day, you know? Or I'll fuck you, I'll record it with your back tattoos and all. Have a good old time. Send you home to your husband, to your boyfriend, and let me be. I'm not the moral police. I'm 47 years old, grown man. So I'm going to do me. Remember, I deal with consenting adults. I don't coerce anybody into anything. And if you want to judge me, let's open up your skeletons, your closet, and see what skeletons you have in there. Because I'll find them. Just like with my ex. It's like she's got skeletons that they don't want to come out in the day. That's why she had to get insurance. Like, for what? I'm not going after you. I'm not going after you. I'm not going after your kids. God bless them. They're amazing. You've done a great job raising them. Even though they don't love you at the level that you want them to love you, they're great fucking kids. Shout out to you guys. You guys are a great legacy. And that's why it pissed me off the way your ex-husbands would treat you. Because you did a fucking awesome job with them. Okay? But this whole notion of, you know, but they keep their distance because of your volatility, because of your combustibility. And I know they disrespect you, but you have to learn how to communicate in a way that it gets across to them. But you, unfortunately, with us, it's like you never understood that I was never the enemy. I didn't do things that you wanted me to do halfway. And I still wanted to be spiritual. I still wanted to be in nature. But don't force me into it. Don't automatically try to play doctor on me. If I'm busy at work, I'm busy at work. Just hold on. Be patient. I have like 134 IQ last time I checked. Relax. Like, relax, calm down. I have high emotional intelligence. Relax. Just because I don't fit the norm of what you used to or anybody's used to, it's simple. Because I don't have a constitution of conservative values. I think people are people. We're not perfect. As long as you're not hurting other people against their will, I'm cool. You bullying anybody, I have a problem. You manipulating anybody, I have a problem. You controlling somebody, I have a problem. I never try to control you. I just told you my rule is always this. I'm going to do me. I let you be you, but let me be me. And if you see something you don't like, you can have a conversation about it. I have the sympathy and empathy to understand that it's impacting you in a certain way and come back at you and say, what's the common ground? Or explain to you why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. And this is the journey and the path. You may not like it, but I give you my why. I just don't tell you, shut up, woman, beat it. I don't say that. So it always bothers me when you say I'm narcissistic. Like, what is it that I'm narcissistic about? What is it that I need attention for? I do a podcast for my daughter. For her to know me, so when she gets older, and even my grandkids, if I don't get to see them, or anybody else in my family, my niece that I don't talk to, my sister I don't talk to. And you try to throw that away in my face as well. You don't have any relationships with your friends or anybody. I don't have relationships with my family because they're toxic. Don't you fucking understand that? And I've repeated this over and over again. The whys. The levels of toxicity. Like Million Dollar Baby with Clint Eastwood. The boxer, that girl, she had a toxic family. But you somehow feel that I'm the problem. That I'm not facing my problems. I told you this. I tried talking with them and coming to a common ground. A middle ground. Like, let's let bygones be bygones. But if they can't do it, why should I succumb myself or make myself suffer in that fucking cesspool. That's the part you don't, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. You don't fucking get it. And that's why I can't be with somebody that doesn't respect me or understand my ways or even try to grasp and sympathize with my whys. Because we're going to be on this hamster wheel. I was not going to argue with her anymore. This is the way it was going to go. I'm not repeating. She will repeat conversation, like arguments that happened 2 weeks ago. She will repeat arguments that happened 6 months ago. She will repeat arguments. It's like nonstop. Let it fucking go. We talked about this issue of the vegetables for 10 days. Let it fucking go. I'm done with it. How are we going to be moving forward? I'll tell you how I'm going to be moving forward. But you're trying to break the semantics of how that argument derailed. We already did that. Just like we do it over at Bristol. Just like we did in the second iteration when you walked away and said, I got to walk away from you because you need to go experience the sexual things that you need to experience. And then we'll see where we're at. You left me. And then you were waffling all over the place. You have to be more consistent. You can't be as erratic. You have to be more accountable, responsible. You're a grown old woman like I am. Get your shit together, respectfully. No one from the outside is going to say I don't have my shit together. I do. And if a video of me fucking other women when I was single is somehow going to derail me, because remember, I'm not trying to be a person of God. I'm not trying to lead a community and be Jesse Jackson. That's you. You know, you're trying to be the humanitarian person. But like I said, if you want me to send videos of you sucking my dick or us fucking, I don't think that's going to go very well to your reputation. My reputation, like I said, people know I got a podcast at work. My boss knows I got a podcast at work. I just met with some business people this past week. They're telling me some crazy stories. But they're executives in their company. Boo-hoo. Perks of being a man. Boo-hoo. As long as you ain't fucking around on your married wife, no one's going to give a shit. The women are. You women, conservative, judgmental women are. But the guys are going to be like, a guy's going to DM me like, man, all right, way to get it, boss, with a flex arm. No guy is going to bust my boss. And guess who hires people around these parks these times? Men. Unless you are fucking Mike Pence. Unless you're Mike Pence, no guy's going to fucking care. And the guys that are Mike Pence, there's more Donald Trumps out there in business than there are Mike Pences. Sorry to break it to you. It's the women that have to be all godly and church-like. Imagine if I was to send those videos to the guy that you're trying to talk to again. To the husband. He's not a husband anymore now because you made him divorce, but the guy that was married when you were with him. You think he's going to let that go? You think that he is going to be happy with that? He's going to keep throwing it in your face until the end of life, end of time. If he was to catch those videos I have of you, if anybody has insurance, it's me. But like I said, I'm not going down that route. I loved you. I had history for you. I wanted to make this work, and it didn't. I get it. It didn't work. I have nothing against you, man. I want you to like surpass whatever expectations anybody has of you. Go out and make an impact in the world. Make billions of dollars. Be happy. Have the perfect... I'm always... Even though you're not going to be rooting for me, I'm going to be rooting for you. You deserve the best. You're a great person. We were just not compatible in a romantic relationship. And when I said to you, hey, can we be friends? Can we just kind of be respectful and see where it goes? You were like, you lost me. You lost me. Because I was telling you things honestly that you've been telling me all the time, speak to me honestly. But somehow, when I speak honestly, I'm disrespecting you. And it's funny because you said all these things. You got these things off your chest about me, about my life, about the things you're tolerating about me. What was my response? I said, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I appreciate realness. When people fucking keep it real, I know this. It's not going to be what I want to hear or how I want to hear it. So I appreciate it, man. When fucking people tell me what they fucking feel about me, God damn. That's why I like my dad too. My dad keeps it real. He was like, if I knew that your mom was going to be like this, you guys motherfuckers wouldn't have been born. I would have been like, I hear you, boss. I get it. I feel you. Because there's nothing you can do about it. I'm here. But I feel that sentiment. I get it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't feel disrespected. But the way I think and the way I feel and the way I'm able to receive information is different than you. I just want to be respected. I just want to feel when we get heated, hey, man, let's be respect. We're respect. We're on the equal platform. I don't want you to throw shit at me, throw shit in my past, throw shit that you judge me on when your fucking life is not fucking perfect in any way, shape, or form. You're not a perfect person walking on earth. I could break you down and make you go home and cry and hang yourself. Because no one's perfect. But I don't live on that. I know who I am as a person. People close to me know who I am as a person. They know I'm different, but they know I'm a good man. I'm a good person. I'm loyal. I mean good. I walk to the beat of my own drum, but they know I'm a good person. They know I'm fair. They know I'm sympathetic. They know I could work within a team. They know I can love. They know that I can be selfless to the detriment of my own happiness. But you couldn't see those things. You saw whatever you saw. You stuck in your loops, as you would say. And here we are. But it's no going back this time. You're deleted. You're blocked from every mechanism. I don't want your money. I deleted you from my Zelle. I don't want any money from you. I don't want anything from you. I changed the codes. I found out that images come in. So if this shit randomly, I don't know if you came in or not, because all the tags that come into the community, they're pictured and logged up to 30 days. So I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I am good. I'm going to get some guns just in case. Just in case. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything. But I'm going to get a shotgun and a Glock. I'm doing that this weekend. I'm going to go out of town, get that stuff when I come back. I already talked to some people. That's me. I always have a phone call to make. Hey, you're like, I got the guy. I got the guy. So I'm going to be fine, man. Just respectfully step away. You know, if your kids ever reach out to me, everyone's blocked. But I'll be good. I'll be respectful to anybody. Your dad is blocked. Your cousin's blocked. Your friend's blocked. I don't want to talk to anybody in your space. And it's not, it's just done. It's done. Your instability, your erratic ways, your way of being, just don't rub me. We could be friends, but since you didn't want that and you went ahead and got pictures and videos and did something because you got angry at me because I emailed our conversations to a friend that I'm not fucking, that I was not with in any way, shape, or form while we were in a relationship. But you don't believe my story, so you got to confirm it with her. And you got to deal with the fact that you don't know who that bitch is that I was fucking with the tattoo on the back of her ass. You still got to deal with that, with me looking at the camera and banging away. She had a fluffy white ass too. And I was about to come, she turned around and I made her swallow. I didn't get that part, as you can imagine. I mean, when you're in that moment like that, it's kind of like you got to put the phone down. You got to focus on the goat. But that's my point to you, man. Like, I don't give a fuck. My life is not crazy. Even if it was, as long as a girl wasn't underage, I don't care. Consensual adults, whether it was free or paid, I don't give a fuck. Consenting adults are consenting adults. You want to get me in the moral police? Go for it. I'll go to Jesus the next day and fucking cleanse myself. Because Jesus loves me, right? He'll forgive me. If I go baptize myself the next day and, you know, renounce Satan and all that shit, I'm good to go. I know how this shit works. I grew up in it. So you can't judge me on that. But you just can't get over your ego that I could fuck other women. That other women fuck me with better energy than you do. Because they don't have the moral. They throw morality out the door. They don't have any inhibitions when they come into the bedroom. They want to fuck. They want to have a good time. And however that looks like to me or to them, we're going to do it. Because we're trying to have a good fucking time while we're on earth. And we shake hands and we call it a day. If that bothers you, that there's women out there that do that, boo fucking who? You're not going to change the world that way because that's how it is. Just stay aligned with the church morale people. Stay in that lane. The spiritual people. Because I can go into crazy town. I don't stay there, but I can go there. But you're not going to hold that against me. Shit. Using shit as security. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not coming after you. I don't give a fuck about your vendettas with your fucking ex-husbands and how they treat you like shit and the ex-wives you want to fucking beat up and do shit to. I don't fucking care. That's none of my business anymore. I don't have to deal with that shit. That's like you have released so much stress off my plate. You have given me so much structure back. I don't deal with any of it. I'm done. I'm good. And if you want to come and get mad at this recording, blame your friends. You told them about this podcast. I didn't. I talk about my shit. And if you tune in, because you're fucking nosy. Good for you. I'm doing it because I like getting my side of the story out. And if you want to write a book about it, fucking awesome. Write a book, send me a copy. I'll fucking talk. I'll read about my part and I'll laugh about it. Cause that's what I fucking do. I laugh at myself. Telling me I alienate myself from people. I don't have anybody. Bitch, you never fucking knew. It's like you never went to see what it was for me at my Lakeland days. I invited you. In Gasparilla, I derailed and you would have saw a bunch of my friends there. I had like 10 friends there. But I was all fucked up emotionally because the night before you thought for a second I was your ex. Thinking I fucking smoking cigars. There was not one time in my life I've been around you that I compared you or thought of somebody else. I know who you were all the time. When we were not together, even though I was fucking other women because I was single. I didn't compare them to you. I could tell what you liked. You're a vegan. You eat fish sometimes. You love to dance. You love to sing. You love to be around your people. You're antisocial, meaning you don't like to be in big crowds unless you're with somebody that can make you feel protected. You like engaging in community. You hate TV and electronics. You do it once in a while, but you don't want to do it every weekend. I know all these things about you. Okay? So I never deviated from that when you came back into my life. You're the one that had to relearn me. You're the one that had to shed the guy that you were in love with. But it's okay because now you're going to re-love him again. Women are crazy like that. Women will make you feel a man feel like shit. Marry him for 20 years, right? But then the moment they're dead, no more than 2 years, they're fucking engaged to somebody else. I'm not saying you can't move on. What the fuck? What you're able to flush out 20 years in a year, and get married to somebody else, And then you're judging me because I can go and fuck somebody else right away without any emotions because my heart space is not something that I just share with anybody. My exes can tell you I don't fuck them. When we're off, we're off. I don't fuck my exes. There's heart space there. It's hard for me. It's a you're already put in a different category. But she doesn't fucking get it. Like, she doesn't get me at all because it's so different than what she's experienced with other men and what her women friends tell her that it's hard to believe. And it's like, I'm not cheating on you. I'm not talking to other women. It's like, you came to be this cool, not easy going, and you get jealous of other women. Like, it's like this whole, you feel disrespected. You act crazy. Like, relax. Now it's over. Go to your jealous ex and you enjoy that. Have at it because he's going to give you the dick and the attention you need. Awesome. Go for it. Like, you're going to learn in life. Like I told you in our relationship for the last time, you're not going to get everything off that checklist. You're not. So you're going to have to learn to deal with the jealousy, with the controlling, with the shaming language that you were doing to me. Now it's going to be retorted back to you. The fact that he's not going to get over certain things, just like you can't get over certain things, and he's going to keep throwing them in your face. The fact that he's all over you, the fact that he's going to be, just embrace it. Love it all. Don't complain or bitch about it. Deal with it now. You're never going to get it all. And the sooner you understand that, as an old woman that you are, and I'm not doing it in a shameful way, I'm doing it, I'm saying old because you've lived life long enough to understand these concepts. Relax. You're not naive about the world. You live through life. Enjoy it. Compromise. Make the best of every situation. And don't kick yourself about what life could have been or should have been. It's what it is now. Make the best of it. Put people around you that support you for your goals. And if you don't have people that support you, then you do it on your own. That's what I had to do a little bit with you because you didn't really support me. You were complaining about me spending all this time at work and dealing with a boss's Gemini. Don't we all have bosses that are all over the place? You're telling me right now, we don't have people that are all over the place as far as our bosses. I had one in my prior job. She was a fucking nut job. And we'd be fucking fighting like cats and dogs every fucking quarter. But she was fighting with me. She was fighting with Raymond. She was fighting with Kelly. She was fighting with Derek. She was fighting with Dwight. She was fighting with everybody all the fucking time. Fighting with fucking Jill. Fighting with everybody. And everyone said the same thing, man. She's a fucking nut job. Yeah. So bosses can be like that sometimes. And when you're getting paid by your boss, you kind of have to do what they tell you to do. And you kind of have to be there if you're trying to get to that next level. But you couldn't support me that long. It was too much for you. Or you made it seem like I was such a bear to deal with. And telling people that I'm controlling. I'm not controlling, man. I'm parenting a child. I'm parenting a child and trying to make sure she makes it to the finish line. If that's controlling to you, awesome. I think most people that are rational, that understand about a father being involved in the daughter's life and trying to be there and trying to help because maybe there's some things that I need to do that the mom can't do and doing them because you're worried about the child and the well-being of the child because they're still under your legal supervision. And that means that that's going to take a hit to my personal time, to my time in relationships, to anything that I want to do for myself because it's not just your relationship that I'm putting aside. It's my goals too. So you may not even understand any of this. But this is for the people that want to understand the perspective. Because this is my last time talking about it. I'm not sharing this anymore. I'm done with it. And you have to understand that reality. You have to truly understand that we're just not compatible because of your inability to compromise and come to a common ground. and accept. And because of your inability to come to a common ground or to accept certain things, you will let your frustration come out, which would turn into shaming, judgment, and minimizing my feelings and diminishing and devaluing and deflecting anything I had to say. That's why I put it in email. That's why I put it in writing, because I want to make sure that there's a dialogue so that somebody else can see it and understand what's going on. It's draining. All the women said, man, I see what you're dealing with, but you don't see it because it's your norm. It's your norm. And it's hard to see your norm. Everyone knows how I am. I share who I am. That's the difference between me and you. I have no problem sharing who I am as a person. Never have, never will. But you do. So, you know, I wish you the best, but please don't threaten me with security assurances. I don't think you want to go down that route. I'm not that guy. But I love you. I wish you the best. You got this.
And one of the reasons black male-female relationships are so dysfunctional is you got traumatic man trying to relate to traumatic woman. Neither one of them is dealing with the person across the table because they're both reacting from past hurt, which is why I believe that when you get out of one relationship before you go into another one, you need a period of healing, because if in fact you were in love, it's going to take you a while to heal your soul back, because love is the process of two becoming one. So if that was really love before you move on, you got to take a break and heal. The problem, gentlemen, is we don't like to take the break and heal. And the reason why black men and black women don't like to take the break to heal is when you are in solitude. And this is why spirituality functions on a foundation of solitude. When you are alone, your soul forces to the surface issues in your life that you need to address that you don't feel like addressing. So the reason I'm rushing out to get another woman isn't because I'm ready to build another relationship. It's because when I'm home alone, I deal with my abandonment of my mother. I deal with my sexual abuse of my uncle. I deal with the emotional emasculation I suffered from my mother. I'm dealing with the bullying from my siblings. You see that? Yeah. So how do you escape your internal demons? You run out and you date. And so in the black community, dating and mating has become the newest drug. It's how we escape from taking responsibility for our emotional health.